We're going to look at another parable. You've had a summer of parables. I think I might be the last one for you. I think this week is the last. Oh, am I? Okay, all right then. So let's enjoy a parable. Let's turn to the scriptures. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant, and it's quite a famous one in some ways because it's so powerful and such a nice one to read. Matthew 18, 23 to 35 says this. I'll read it to you. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then he said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, which was millions and millions of pounds, was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him, and 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him. He cancelled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a hundred silver coins. Which is a very, very small amount. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back everything he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Okay, so it's quite sobering in some ways, isn't it? We're gonna unpack that bit by bit and understand what God is saying. First of all, a parable is a picture, okay? So this isn't a literal story. This isn't a literal account of something that actually happened. This is Jesus saying, "Well, I need to teach you something. I'm going to do it in the form of a story." So it's a picture. It's a way of understanding something about the kingdom of God, about God himself, about us as Christians. That's what parables were for. The preceding question from his disciples was really interesting, and it may be one that you can relate to, because the question was this. "Right then, Jesus, what's the rule? How many times do I have to forgive my brother until I can hate him and slap him?" And Jesus is like, And maybe you know that feeling of, "Oh, how much have I got to do with this? How many times have I got to forgive someone? Actually, what I really want to do is hate them forever, really, really, really hard." Jesus plays a bit of a game with them almost. He says this. He says, 77. You not just seven times, 77 times. And that's a play on numbers, because what the disciples are saying, seven is the, because it was the perfect number in those days. So actually they're saying, "Shall I just do perfection and then I can hate him?" And actually Jesus says, "No, 77, which is like saying perfection times perfection. It's like infinity plus one. Jesus is saying, this is not a thing you can play a game with. Actually, there's a different perspective on this. So he uses the parable to change the way they're looking at forgiveness. It's not about keeping rules on the outside, but on the inside, storing up anger for later. Forgiveness is something completely different. So the parable tells us that God did not wait for you and I to be able to make our amends for our wrongdoing. He just forgives us anyway. When we ask for forgiveness, he gives it totally and without caveats. That's what the parable says. And we need to treat others in the same way. So Jesus was saying to them, "Look, you've been forgiven so much more than you could ever have repaid. You would never have been able to atone for it. Your debt was unspeakably massive, and you've been forgiven all of it. And now you need the same attitude towards other people. And by the way, if you don't, you're opening the door to the enemy's influence in your life, and that really isn't good." So it's quite a meaty parable, isn't it? Quite a deep answer to a very straightforward question. So let's unpack it. Forgiveness, I think, is a very tough issue. It's a tough subject, because it's not something that anybody sits there and says, "Oh yeah, I like that one." We all sit there and go, "Oh, forgiveness, yes." It's not an easy thing to do for most people. I am not a natural forgiver. I think some people do have a naturally very forgiving disposition. But even so, you have to work at some things, don't you? I'm not actually like that. I'm just plain horrible. So I actually find it really hard to forgive. I find it something I have to choose to believe what God is saying and choose to trust him to do me good when he says to do it. That's me. So when we've been hurt, there are different reactions we have to this. Sorry. We'll get there in the end. There we go. But loosely speaking, they'll all fall into a category. When we've been hurt by someone, we feel these things: hurt, angry, confused. Okay, that's a standard reaction to somebody doing something wrong that hurts us. That's fine. They're just feelings. It's okay. Stage two. This is when the thoughts start to come in, and actually this is the point at which things can start to go into a bit of a negative if we don't deal with things. So we maybe start to doubt ourselves. So when we have those feelings, we then move into a set of processing about that. We might think, I can't trust my judgment, or I didn't see it coming, or I must be stupid or weak or unlovable. I must be worth that kind of treatment. So we start to have a self-doubt over what's going on. We start to doubt others and think, well, I can't trust people then, can I? I can't trust other people. I can only trust myself. I must protect myself from being hurt, and I'm better off alone. So we start to believe those sort of lies about other people. We start to doubt God. And that's actually, I think, the most painful one. And if you've been there, you'll know that one hurts probably more than anything else. Because if you can't trust God, who can you trust? There's nothing left after that. But we start to believe the lie that I can't trust God because he let a bad thing happen to me. Maybe he's not strong enough. Maybe he doesn't love me enough to protect me. And we start to believe the lies about God. When we start to do that, we move into behaviours. And again, it's natural cycle to do this, but we're moving into the one where the unforgiveness is. So we become withdrawn. We become defensive. We become controlling. They're all ways of stopping other people hurting us. So we go from having the feelings to having the beliefs to then going, right, in that case, I'm going to act in a certain way and live in a certain way. So we stop letting people get close. We stop letting them have any influence over us. Controlling others and controlling situations means that we're trying to stop that coming near enough to hurt. And then this happens. We go back to stage one, but with a whole new layer of feelings, okay? Because if you live a life that is doubting yourself, doubting others, doubting God, and you're behaving defensively, withdrawn, isolated and controlling, you have a whole new set of feelings to deal with. So you become bitter, you become insecure, and you become lonely. So this is very tiring, this cycle. And if you've been in it, and I'll come to that, I've been in it, and I will tell you a little bit about that. It actually is exhausting. It takes everything out of you. And the more this goes on, the more it demands of you. And this is what unforgiveness looks like. It affects our walk with God. And primarily, that's the most important thing. It actually does affect our walk with other people, and it massively affects our own view of ourselves. But actually, it affects our walk with God. Not because he withdraws, but because we stop talking to him about stuff. We stop letting him heal us. We stop letting him grow us. So this is why Jesus gave the parable, because what the disciples were saying was, how many times do I have to forgive someone before I can just stay in the cycle? Because what I really want to do is stay there. And he's going, no, you really don't. You really don't want to stay there. This is really not a place you want to live. So he says to us, okay, let's look at forgiveness a different way. Forgiveness itself means owning, feeling, acknowledging the fullest extent of the damage done to us. That is not a pleasant experience, which is why we try and avoid it, of course. But actually, it's very healing, because what we do is we then release it at the cross. We bring it to God. Everything that's gone on, we bring before him, and he's our healer and redeemer. Now, you might be someone who says, oh, yeah, I get this because I've done this. I've been through that, or maybe you haven't. Maybe you've managed to cut it short much quicker. And you're somebody who can say, yes, I have forgiven, and I have seen God heal me. And I just want to commend you for that, because that is not an easy path to walk. And the bigger the hurt, the harder that is, but the more amazing the healing is. And I just want to say to you, do encourage other people in the things that you've walked through and you've seen God be faithful in. And if he's healed you through forgiveness, then as much as you're able to share that with other people in the, you know, church family, do. Because for some people, it just feels like the most scary thing that's ever asked of them. But well done you, because there's a real honesty and integrity to your walk with God. Others of you might feel, actually, life's been all right. nothing that bad's happened, and the things that have happened have been small enough just to deal with. They're okay. That's brilliant. I pray that your life may continue in that vein forever and ever. But at some point, probably something will happen. When it does, just use this as a store up as a toolkit. Okay, this is how you deal with stuff. But for others, this is going to feel very personal because this is where you are now. You're in somewhere in here. You may be still in the first throes of having been hurt, and so you're not even at the forgiveness stage yet. You're still kind of coping with what's happened. Being hurt, being angry. That's okay. You are where you are. All of us are. That's okay. Maybe you know you need to forgive, but actually you're arguing with God. And you're in that kind of battling stage where he's saying do it and you're saying no, and that's where you are. The amazing thing about grace, okay, we cannot jeopardize God's love for us. So as I'm talking, please don't take this as a, oh, I haven't gone that far, I haven't done it yet, or I know I should, but I don't want to, or whatever. Don't think like that. Just know that God loves you, and it is a releasing command that he gives when he asks us to forgive. But he also is very gentle. He never forces it. He never commands that we do it against our will. He just asks us to do it. So let us not judge ourselves harshly if we're finding it's a bit of a struggle. But on the other hand, let's just push into the things that God has got for us. So why don't we forgive? If forgiveness is a command, which it is, and I'll give you some scriptures for that, why don't we do it? Well, I think one of the reasons we don't do it is because we don't think it's fair. It's like everything in us is like, no, I should feel angry. I should feel hurt. What they did was horrible and it's not okay. And if I end up forgiving them, it's like it doesn't matter. It's like it never happened. And they've done such a terrible thing. They didn't even deserve to be forgiven. That's not okay. It feels very unjust and unfair to forgive. It feels like we're giving someone else something that they don't deserve. When we actually are, aren't we? That's exactly what we're doing. Because that's what God does with us. Okay? We forgive other people because God forgives us. We have the added incentive that when we forgive, even if it has no impact on the other person, actually it does us the most enormous amount of good as well. We have an inbuilt need for justice. So when it feels like it's not unfair, that's okay for it to feel that way. But that's not okay for it to drive what we do. But we do have an inbuilt need for justice, and that's godly, and we shouldn't lose that. We should always be passionate about justice for ourselves and other people. But it's not the same as forgiveness, okay? Forgiveness and justice and reconciliation often all get lumped together as forgiveness, but actually they're different things. So because they're different things, but because they all get lumped together quite often, we think that if we forgive someone, we're not going to get justice over something, and we have got to go back into relationship with them in a way that just pretends everything never happened. Actually, it feels like I can't forgive. It's too big. It's too massive. I can't cope with what is required of me in that. What I want to do very briefly is just talk about those three things, because although they're connected, they're different. So forgiveness, reconciliation, and justice are different things. Sometimes, even after forgiveness, there are other ongoing consequences to a person's actions against you. Okay? We can forgive someone and still seek justice if the law or God's law has been violated. That's biblical. So forgiveness doesn't mean you let go of justice. It might mean that, but it doesn't mean, it's not automatic. Do you see what I mean? It's different things. So, for example, there are sometimes just natural processes of law that need to be initiated. If someone's stolen your car, you should tell the police. That's okay. Doesn't mean you haven't forgiven the person, but you should tell the police. If someone has assaulted you, whether that's someone you know, someone in your family, or a complete stranger, it's right that you tell the police because the law has been broken. If someone commits adultery, it's not against the law, but it's important that that becomes known because actually God's word has been violated. So you can forgive and seek justice but not be reconciled. That's biblical. That might happen in the case of abuse, for example. So they're different things, okay? Forgiveness and reconciliation, different things. You can forgive and be reconciled but not need justice. So in the case of marital unfaithfulness, you might choose to forgive your partner, and actually then there's no need for there to be any other action because that's been dealt with. So forgiveness, justice, reconciliation, different things. Reconciliation is about our relationship with others. Sometimes it's not safe or wise or even possible to be reconciled to another person. It's a completely different transaction to forgiveness. On the cross, however, we do see all three things happening at once. We see forgiveness, justice, reconciliation in the power of the cross, don't we? It's incredible. I do genuinely think Jesus is the only one that could have done, obviously he's the only one that could have done all that, but actually he's probably the only one who can bring all those three things together in one thing. I think the rest of us do need to separate them out and do them one at a time. So we can forgive and seek justice and choose reconciliation. They're compatible, but they're also distinctly different. So forgiveness then, coming back to forgiveness, that's primarily about our relationship with God, okay? It's not about our relationship with the other person. It's actually about our relationship with God. Whether or not you seek justice, whether or not you seek reconciliation, that's different, but choosing to forgive is between you and God. It's a matter of your heart, a matter of your will. Verse 27 says this, "The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go." Okay, that's a picture of God. We beg for mercy, and he says, yep, it's yours. Have it, go. Nothing stands against you anymore. That is how God deals with us. Ephesians 4, 31 to 32 says this, "Forgive one another, just as in Christ God forgave you." Okay? So in Ephesians, that's the command, forgive one another, just as God forgave you. And in the parable, we have the picture, the servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt and let him go. And that is how God deals with us. That is how he forgives us. Verses 28 to 30, we read that the second servant was then asking for forgiveness from the first servant. So this is where the first servant gets the opportunity to put that into practice. Having been forgiven everything, having everything cancelled, everything against him taken away, and he's free to go, he then straight away gets faced with someone who owes him something. Now, it's very easy for us to go, why did he do that? Why didn't he just let him go as well? So this second servant was asking for forgiveness, but the first one says no. Instead, he acts like the man's judge and jury, doesn't he? He's like, no, I'll have you put in prison until you can pay back everything you owe. And he's like, my goodness, what was he doing? Why did he do that? I think it's a lot easier to do that than we'd like to think. I think it's very easy, actually. And I own this one and say, it's very easy for me to thank God for all his forgiveness and then meet up with someone that I think, oh, yes, I remember everything you did. I remember that thing you did or said or didn't do or didn't say. And oh, here I am again. Actually, it's so easy for us to do this. Staying in unforgiveness means we feel like we can be the judge and jury on that other person. We can wield a certain power over them, can't we? When we're on unforgiveness, it's sort of empowering in its own twisted way. We become legalistic. We judge that person as unworthy of forgiveness, which you'd never say to God, would you? You'd never say, well, I'm worth it and they're not. But actually, in our attitude, that's what we're saying. We inflict pain and justify it as what they deserve. Sometimes there's an energy that comes from being angry, and it can feel very appealing. If you've got the sort of personality I've got, I'm sorry about that, everybody, if you've got one like me, you do find that. You do think, wow, I'm angry and I'm motivated and I feel much stronger than when I wasn't angry, so I'm jolly well going to sort this one out myself. We can take the moral high ground, and we end up being like the man in the story, and it's horrible, and you don't want to be that person. But I tell you, it's easy to be that person. I was chatting to my colleague a couple of weeks ago, completely nothing to do with this at all, but we just happened to wander into this territory, and she just said, completely out of the blue, she said, you know when people don't forgive, something goes really ugly inside them? And I thought, oh, that's such a good description. And she's not a practicing Christian. She wouldn't have read anything in the Bible about that. That was just experiential. You know, when we don't forgive, something goes ugly inside us. And I think this sort of being someone else's judge and jury, becoming legalistic, becoming aggressive, becoming hostile, that's something of what she was talking about. So when we carry unforgiveness for a long time, we become like the man in the story, and it does affect the people around us. Remember this, the story tells us that when we've been forgiven, that we have been forgiven a debt that would have been utterly impossible for us to repay. We've been forgiven everything in Christ, and not only that, but actually we're now sons and heirs with Christ. I mean, it's incredible. So who are we to hold on to the judgment of someone else? God is their judge, not us. Forgiveness is not saying it doesn't matter. It's definitely not saying that. God never says that about our sin. He never says it doesn't matter. He says, I forgive. I remove it as far as the east is from the west. I no longer hold it against you. So we're not saying it doesn't matter, but we are saying God is your judge, not me. And that's what forgiveness is saying. So what happens if we choose not to forgive? Because we do have that choice. God gives us that and never takes that choice away from us. Well, there are very personal consequences. And this is the bit in the parable, verses 32 to 35. It's not just about the impact on other people. Actually, it's about the impact on us. So it's the bit where the master hands the servant over to be tortured, it says. The Greek word there is actually spiritual torment. It's not physical torture. It's not that. It's what Jesus is saying is basically there are spiritual consequences to not forgiving. He's very direct about this. When we don't forgive, we give the enemy a foothold. It's what we do. That's how it works. It's not optional. It's not a gradient. It just is. When we don't forgive, we give the enemy a little foothold and it can get bigger. We allow him some influence over our emotions, our beliefs and our actions. And you can see that from that cycle. You know, that is not a God-inspired cycle, is it? That we end up with those sort of thoughts and beliefs and behaviours. We open ourselves up to torment. If we stay in unforgiveness, we just tumble into bitterness. It's not an option. You just end up there. It's not something you can say, well, I'll stay in unforgiveness, but I won't become bitter. I just tell you from experience, that doesn't work. Yeah, it happens. So there's a great quote from Neil Anderson in the Freedom in Christ course, which some of you will know because you've done the course. And he says this, when we hold on to bitterness, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. It's so true. It's so true. We just think if we can just hold on to all our unforgiveness, then actually we can punish the other person enough. Actually, the only thing that happens, of course, is we damage ourselves. We drink in malice and anger and division and judgmental attitudes. In reality, we damage ourselves, and we really need to have wisdom on what's happening there. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11 says this. This is Paul talking to the church. What I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Okay? The consequences of unforgiveness are so one of his tactics. It just wraps you up in yourself and your pain, and it isolates you and it damages you. Let us not be unaware of the enemy's schemes. Let us walk faithfully in the things that God asks of us. Just as an aside, one of the other reasons sometimes people don't want to forgive is because they almost haven't got to the point of realising there's something to forgive. And I think sometimes people do this because they try and justify other people's bad behaviour. So you might be somebody who's sitting there and going, yeah, but okay, so that thing hurt, but actually I kind of deserved it. I did something that made them do that, or I must have done something wrong for them to do that. That must have been my fault somewhere in there. Or but it's kind of how it is in that relationship or in that family or in that work situation. That's just kind of how it is. Actually, it's really important for all of us to have God's view of a situation and of ourselves. God values you more than you will ever know. And we know that from the scriptures because of what he gave Jesus for you. We need to have that same value of ourselves. So it's not okay for someone to hurt you and then you to go, oh, that's okay. That's not okay. You might forgive them. You might pray blessing on them. But actually, it's not okay that they did it in the first place. Do you see what I mean? So if you're someone who constantly justifies someone else's bad behavior, maybe you think you did something wrong to deserve it, I would just say take a hold of that thought and just pray it through. Bring it to God. And if you're in discipleship with someone, bring it to them. Just pray that through and ask God to give you his view of you. So the other reason I think we don't forgive very easily is because we don't think it's really going to do us any good. It's not something that makes it doesn't feel that appealing, does it, forgiveness? Forgiving someone else. It's great to be forgiven, but actually forgiving someone else doesn't always feel like it's that good. People sort of say sometimes, why should I? Because I've still got to live with the actions. I've still got to live with the consequences of somebody else's actions against me. It doesn't change anything. It's fairly pointless. All it does is make it seemed like it never even happened. It can feel like that, but actually it's something that's really healing and really releasing and actually strengthens us. When we forgive other people, it's an incredibly powerful impact on us personally. Paula Hall is a Christian psychotherapist and author, and she's been working for about 20 years in supporting people to walk away from addictions to pornography. So she's someone who's looked a lot at the therapeutic benefits of forgiveness, actually, as part of what she does. She's just written a new book, and she says in this, she's a brilliant quote that I just think just sums it up so well as someone who's seen this happen a lot in the last 20 years. Forgiveness is psychologically essential for our mental health and one of the most powerful tools for healing the human heart. It's not easy or quick. Forgiveness is a process, not a one-off event. It's a gradual release of the feelings that keep us bound to our pain. It gives you freedom and opens the way for God's grace to heal you. I love that. And she's someone who does this, she takes people through this all the time. It's such a great quote. Essential for our mental health and one of the most powerful tools for healing the human heart. It's an incredible statement, isn't it? An incredible claim. But I would say it's absolutely true. So I just want to encourage you to have that in your mind when you think about forgiveness. I just want to give you a very short testimony as well, because I think it's sometimes helpful to hear how it really works, if you're not someone who's done this a lot. A long time ago now, when we were still living in Winchester, so it was before we even came to Chichester, someone I trusted hurt me quite deeply, and I was not expecting it. It came out of the blue. For a long, long time, I lived with the pain of that, and absolutely, it took a long time to just to process what had happened, really. After a long time of living with that, I felt God say to me one day, "You need to forgive." And I was like, "Well, I don't want to." And then he said, "And you need to pray blessing on them." I was like, "No, no, that's a bridge too far. No." I was outraged. I was so cross with God. I cannot even put into words how angry I felt. I felt that he was asking me to do this because he loved that person more than me. Because why else would he ask me to forgive them and pray blessing on them? They didn't deserve that. Now, you may feel that's a very immature response. It wasn't that long ago. I mean, you think I've probably been a Christian 10 years. So it's not like it was a new thing. But actually, I found it really difficult. I really didn't want to do this. I thought he was asking me just to brush it under the carpet. So I said no. After a little while, so weeks this went on for of him saying, "You need to do this." Nope. And in the end, I think what God did was just kind of start to lift the deception, if that's the right word, I'm not quite sure, lift the fog around me so I could actually see what was going on. I realized I'd become very focused on my pain, very focused. It was kind of all I lived with. I woke up with it, I lived in with it, I went to sleep with it. I woke up with it, I lived with it, and that was what I was dealing with all the time. And it was exhausting and it was wearying. And it was kind of obsessive because it's kind of the thing that's right in front of you all the time, so it filters absolutely everything. I was lonely. That was one of my biggest things, was how lonely I was. There was nobody I could really share this with, because although other people were aware of what's happening, actually I was the only one who felt the pain. So I became very isolated of my own doing, and my world shrunk to a world of one. And it's not nice. It's really not nice. A world of one, when that one is horrible, is not a good existence. I heard a lot of condemning thoughts, a lot of accusatory thoughts all the time, because there was constantly that thing going on in my head. I became tearful and panicky, and of course my attitude to other people is just mistrustful and suspicious, and I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to have connections with people. So it was like in verse 34 where Jesus says about you'll be handed over for torment. It felt like that. I felt like I was just in torment. So my options at this point were two. And one, I carried on. Although I didn't want to forgive, I could see that if I carried on, this story wasn't going to end well, because it was on a trajectory and I was pretty sure I hadn't hit the bottom yet. So that was option one. And option two was to forgive. So I just thought, okay. It wasn't faith-filled. It wasn't full of excitement and hope. I just kind of gave in, really, and thought, you know what, God? I don't like what I am choosing, so I'll do your way. I don't think it's going to make any difference. And if you ask me to pretend this has never happened, I'm not going to pretend. But okay, we'll do it your way. So I decided to forgive. I used the Freedom in Christ template, which is just really simple and I just found really helpful. So I did this. Lord, I choose to forgive that person for the thing which made me feel... This took ages. This took ages and ages and ages. Thoughts, feelings, reactions, and then thoughts and feelings. And then, of course, it's just compound stuff going on all the time and all the impact it has on other things. So that took me a long time. It felt quite cathartic getting it out. But on the other hand, I knew this was nothing God didn't already know. And then I said this. So this, the last bit of the prayer is this. Lord, I ask you to heal my damaged emotions, and I ask you to bless the person in Jesus' name. It was a big moment for me just to get through that and go, okay, God, we're doing it your way. It's up to you now. At first, nothing particular happened. But what I found was there would be a few minutes of not having any of these horrible thoughts. And then they'd come back, accusatory thoughts, condemning thoughts, vengeful thoughts. This is how you get your own back. This is what you do. This is how you behave. And I realized I had to just keep doing the prayer. Every time a thought came in, I had to choose. Do I take it in and start giving it food? Or do I go, no, that's not who I am anymore. So our minds are like airports, you know. We've got planes trying to land all the time. So the thoughts are going round and round and round. If you give them permission to land, they'll come in and take root. But you have a choice. For a long time, I'd been giving all these thoughts lots of permission to land. So they'd be coming thick and fast. And I'd had a long time of that being very normal. So actually, there was a lot of work to do in stopping it all happening. And I had to kind of train myself in that. So identifying each thought as it came, initiating the forgiveness prayer. So basically, I went through that same prayer, I don't know how many dozen times a day for the first few days. So every time another thought came, I go, right, and I'm going to do this right through, because I just think, if you're going to bother, do it properly, okay? So I did this, and I, Lord, I choose to forgive, blah, blah, for, blah. Now, the which made me feel started to get shorter and shorter, which was nice, because I kind of managed to pace it a bit. So the prayers itself didn't take so long. It was quite wearing in its own way because it was quite a battle for a few days. But do you know what happened? Eventually, those thoughts just stopped circling. It took a while, but they stopped. So I got longer and longer gaps between when the thoughts were coming in. And not only were there gaps, which was lovely because I really enjoyed not having all that going on all the time. Also, the gaps started to be filled with peace. And I don't just mean like the absence of something, but literally the peace of God. And it kind of was like, oh man, this is good. I like this. I like this a lot. And I started to get hungry for the peace, hungry for God's healing, hungry for the infilling of his spirit. And it just sort of stirred that in me. And it was just so lovely. It was such, once I did the first hard bit, then the process was really, actually really lovely. And I really enjoyed it. The restfulness came, which was great. And then, you know, it's just one of those things. Over the weeks, I started to realise I was sleeping better. I'd started to have a peace, obviously, all the time. I could engage with people. I could engage with God. I could start to think about, okay, I'm going to trust people again. I'm going to be okay with this. I realised that God had disarmed the enemy in my life anyway, and actually through forgiveness of this person, I'd kind of got hold of that power. I'd gone, right, let's just get rid of, let's get the teeth out of this raging lion, because I don't want it snapping away at me all the time. When God asked me to forgive, he did it for my benefit, not the other person's. That might not seem like a revelation to you, but that was such a revelation to me. I was just like, oh my goodness, God actually loves me. This is really nice. He disentangled the enemy's grip on me. He removed the footholds and he caused the enemy to flee. Now, I would not have believed forgiveness could do that. I wouldn't. I just wouldn't. I think it's a nice thing, but I wouldn't have believed it was that powerful. And I do thank God for taking me through it, although I'm not saying go look for pain, but actually God's healing is incredible. So he rescued me from a very dark, shrunken, fear-filled place, and I'm really grateful for that. He also gave me the ability to forgive. And I think what I want to leave you with is this. When God asked you to forgive, it's because he's given you the ability to forgive, which is part of his image in us, isn't it? Because that's what he does. He forgives us. And when we forgive, we open up the way for God to heal us and to pour out the floodgates of his healing in our lives. So it's an incredible privilege to be able to do that. just think it would be really good to come back to worship, if that's okay. And I'm just going to pray, because I think when we talk about things like forgiveness, there's lots of different things going on in our minds, isn't there? Sometimes we're thinking of the things that we have forgiven, and that's brilliant. Sometimes we're thinking about the things we are not going to forgive. Thank you very much, God. That's harder. That's a much harder place to be, isn't it? It's hard when we feel like God is confronting us with something that we're just not prepared to do. So I just want to just pray for us all and lead us through. Not, you don't have to forgive today unless you want to, but I just open up your hearts to that possibility. And if he's asking you to forgive, then just have the courage to go through that. Shall we stand? Okay, let's just take a few minutes to be still before God. Lord, I just want to thank you that your forgiveness is eternal. It is everything, Lord God. There is nothing you don't forgive. Lord, and when we come to you in Jesus' name, you forgive us and you purify us from all unrighteousness. And I thank you, Jesus. That's where we start, Lord God. And out of that place, Father God, we want to be able to extend the same mercy and forgiveness to others. But Father God, you know that sometimes that is so hard to do, Lord God. And it takes every atom of our being to trust you, to walk through that process, Father God. So Lord, I just want to pray for all of us this morning. Lord, would you show us if there are people we need to forgive? And Lord, we ask you to draw near, Lord, and to walk with us as we submit ourselves to your word and we choose to forgive. Lord, we trust you to heal us as we obey your commands. Jesus' name. Amen.